good man has changed. Opinions have changed on what a good man is. What a good man was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, is totally different from what people say a good man is today. When we talk about being a good man, you know, back in the day, if a man provided for his family, if he hung in there and did what he could do to make sure they had what they were supposed to have, he was considered a good man. Maybe he never made a baseball game, a basketball game. Maybe he never went to the schoolhouse to do anything else. And sometimes maybe he never even went to church. But he was a good man. So when we think about what a good man is back then, we by opinion, we say that was a good man because he made sure his family had a roof over their head. He made sure that the family had not only a roof over their head, but he made sure that they had food on the table. Amen. And so when we talk about a good man sometimes in that day, that's what a good man was. But nowadays when we talk about a good man, it's not enough just to provide. You got to go to the games. You got to go to the school. You got to not only give them what they need, but you got to give them what they want. Then you might qualify to be a good man. When I think about a good man, you know, nowadays people say a good man is a man who don't make mistakes. And sometimes, back in the day, 30, 40, 50 years ago, even more than that, you find out that a good man might have had another few kids somewhere else. But nowadays, you're a bad man. Amen. So what is a good man? Could y'all turn me down a little bit? Yes, please. Down. Because it's going to continue to ring back. Not up, down. So a good man, when we talk about a good man, when we look biblically at a good man, the Bible tells us about several men that we can consider good men. That's good right there. A good man, we could say, was Abraham. Now, Abraham was the father of faith, and that made him a good man. But the thing about a good man named Abraham is that Abraham, he lied at some point. Amen. Abraham had lost kind of not lost faith, but he lost focus and he had a baby with Hagar. Amen. Abraham was still a what? Good man. When we look at Isaac, the Bible says that Isaac was dedicated to his one wife, but Isaac still lied. He still made mistakes. But he was still considered in the Bible a what? A good man. Oh, come on, y'all trying to. When we look at Jacob, the Bible says that Jacob, that he was a supplanter. He was a trickster. Somebody who was conniving. Somebody who, if you had something, he'd find a way to trick you out of it. And so the Bible says that was Jacob, but we consider Jacob a good man because his name was Israel, but at the same time, he's struggling with who he is because God told him he was Israel, but he kept saying he was Jacob. And the reason why is because he knew what was in him. He knew that he was still a trickster. He knew that I could still get whatever I want from you. He knew that he still had some issues on the inside of him, but he was still a good man. And God chose him. Hallelujah. Let's go on further. When we talk about a good man, look at Moses. The Bible says that Moses, he was the most meek man of all Israel. But Moses in Egypt, he was a murderer. Lord have mercy. Now, we wouldn't say that Moses was a good man in our day. We'd never let Moses live down his past. We will continue to call Moses by what he did rather than what God called him to be and what he was. So when we talk about what is a good man, we have to look at it. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. But then we look at David and we say David couldn't have, in our day, in our opinions of today, he couldn't have been a good man because he took another man's wife. He not only took another man's wife, but he got her pregnant twice. preach. And then also David got this man killed on the front line to cover up his conspiracy and the thing that he was doing. And we would still say today that David wasn't a good man, but he was a man after God's own heart. Well, all I'm trying to suggest is that good men make mistakes. A good man. When we look at David, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. But David, at some point in his life, because of what he had done, because of his sin, he did not write a psalm for a while. And then finally, a man of God had to go to a good man. A man who had fallen, a man who had messed up, and tell him, he says, that you're the man that messed up. And David had to repent, and he wrote Psalm 51. He said, created me a what? Clean. What makes a good man is when you realize you make a mistake and you say, I got to repent from this and I got to do better. A good man, he learns how to mature. And once he matures, he knows how to handle situations through his maturity. A good man don't run from conflict. A good man goes to conflict and say, I know how to handle it. Look at what Jacob did. Jacob went to his brother Esau. Once he was converted, he went to Esau and he made up for the mess that he made before he left. A good man knows how to do that. A good man. Is this all right? A good man. So what is a good man? In our opinion today, what we would call a good man, none of these men would qualify. They would be on Facebook today with some woman talking about them. I'm telling you, they'd have posted a picture of David, and saying this fella right here had this man killed and took this man's wife. You know it. But the Bible lets us see it all, and we still consider him a good man. Lord have mercy. So what is a good man? When we talk about a good man, a lot of us would not even qualify. But a good man's what is a good man is based off the opinion of others. But you know what? It doesn't matter about the people who are really on the outside. It's the people that he's touched, the people that he's connected with. If they can say that he's a good man, that's good enough. Oh, hallelujah. We have to see that. We have to understand that a good man, when you talk about a good man, David here is the writer of Psalm number 37. David writes this psalm, and he is trying to describe the happy state of a man, of the godly, or a good man versus the wicked. See, he said that if you're poor and you're a good man, then you're better off than a rich or wealthy wicked man. David goes on to tell us, he tells us in verse 1 to not to be afraid because of the evildoers, because they're going to be cut down one day. He said, but don't worry about that. He says, and it's not that David was saying that he didn't do anything bad. He was saying that I'm not a worker of evil continually. See, sometimes we do things that we probably shouldn't do, but we should not continually be a worker of iniquity. Amen? We should not intentionally walk in a sinful way or live in a sinful way. He tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord and make sure when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. The reason why a good man can have good desires is because his desire comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from what he sees. It doesn't come from what somebody tell him he ought to want, but it comes from the inside. It comes from when God places that desire in him. Amen? So a good man, by today's standard, we can't really say that these men that I've named would measure up to be a good man. Let me tell you a few things about a good man. A good man, or basically, since it's Father's Day, let's just say a good father. A good man or a good father is a protector. A good man or a good father is a provider. He is the priest of his house. He is the prophet of his house. In other words, he's a protector because he makes sure that everything's okay. He's a provider. He makes sure that you have exactly what you need. Maybe not everything you want, but you got what you need. Come on and say amen. He is a prophet because he speaks the word of God. When he knows the word, he takes the word and he uses it to make decisions and to give to those in the house so they'll know where he stands. He's the priest of the family or the house because he's the one that goes to God and pray. Amen. Amen. If a man can't pray, I tell you, that's a sad man. We ought to learn how to pray and to pray. We may not all pray the same way, but it's important that we what? pray. So David goes on, and let's move on because I don't want to be too long here. But we get to verse number, we get down to verse number, I guess it's 23. But when we, on the way there, I want to point out something. On the way to verse 23, he says that a wicked man borrowed and don't pay back. Ooh-wee. And he tells us that the wicked borrowed, don't pay it again, but the righteous show mercy and gives. A good man gives his all. A good man says, here's what I have, and I'm able to help or to sacrifice. I'm sacrificing, and sometimes our sacrifices are not known. Our sacrifices are gone unnoticed because some things we do, we're not doing it because we just want to do it. We're doing it at the sacrifice of someone else. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that a good man, he likes to be praised at some time. He wants the same thing, as Bishop Jake said, he wants the same thing that you give your sons. You praise your son about whatever he do. So guess what? The good man wants the same thing. All he wants to do is to be recognized that I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to make it. I'm on the same man here. And so when we look at this, he says in verse 23, he says, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Let's stop there. In other words, a good man is prepared by God. His steps, the word steps means that his starts, his stops, the stages that he might go through. He might go through some changes. He might go through some situations, but he realizes that God is still in control. This is a good man. He realizes that God is preparing me for something greater. He realizes that God is keeping and preparing me, and step by step, he says that my steps are what? Ordered by the Lord. Every step I take, I know God has something to do with it. I know God has something to do with it. I know that God makes sure that my foot is secure. Amen. He says that his steps are what? Ordered. The word ordered here means to be established. It means to be ordained by God. And so when I look at what Abraham did, when I look at how the Bible says that he took Hagar and he lost focus for a moment and he had a son with Hagar, I look at that and I say, man, that seemed like a big mistake, because when Isaac was born, Ishmael teased him. Ishmael went after him, and he was much older than him, and Sarah said, you got to put her and him out. And then God tells Abraham, listen to your wife. Good man. And he puts them out. But later on, we find out if it had not been for his mistake with Ishmael, Joseph would have never ended up in Egypt, and he would never become second in command. And their whole family and the whole tribe of Israel wouldn't have ever been preserved through Egypt if it hadn't been for the step that he took to the tent of Hagar. Oh, amen. So his steps were what? Ordered. David messed up, and God continued to refer to Bathsheba as the right wife of Uriah, even though David had taken her and married her at this time. She had a son named Solomon, and we would not have the Proverbs if it wasn't for David's mistake. Oh, y'all don't hear me. His steps were what? Ordered by the Lord. Y'all with me this morning? Maybe this don't interest you, but me it does. He's prepared by God. He said he not only is his steps ordered, but he says that he delighted. In other words, he delighted in the way. He delighted in his way. Now, some people say that when he said he delighted in the way, God looks at him and he gets joy about how his life is going. He gets joy about the good man's steps that he's taking. But when we look at this, truly look at it, it says that he delighted. The good man is satisfied with what God has got him into. He's satisfied with every step that God has him take. He's satisfied with every stop that God has him make. He's satisfied with every stage that he might go through to become what God wants him to be. Amen. He says that he delighted. He take pleasure in the ways of God. Notice what else. He delighted in his way. In other words, he won't complain about whatever God is doing. He's satisfied with the will of God. Y'all help me today. He said, Paul said, I'm content in whatever state I am in. If I'm hungry, if I'm full, whatever it is, I have learned to be content. Paul said, I'm being a good man. Whatever God has me into, whatever ways God have me to go, however hard it gets in my life, I am still happy to be here because I am being ordered by God. My steps are in his will. And sometimes that means I have a high step and sometimes a low step. Sometimes I'm doing good. Sometimes I don't feel so good. Sometimes I have great things happening, and then sometimes ain't nothing happening, but I'm still all right because I'm content with what God is doing in my life. And I don't have to get afraid when it don't seem like anything's happening. I don't have to get anxious, but I just need to wait on the Lord because he knows what he's doing. God knows best what I need in my life. We try to tell God how to bless us. We try to tell God when to bless us. We try to tell God what to bless us with. But God knows what we need. God knows how to do anything we need. He knows how to do it better than we can think of how to do it. And so we need, as good men, as good women of God, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but what? Acknowledge him in all our ways and he'll direct our path. So I'm content, I'm satisfied because I delight in what God's ways are. I'm not fighting with what God said, but I'm trying to fulfill what God said. I wish I had somebody. We got to stop fighting with what God said. If God said it, stop fighting with it. Stop trying to figure out and find a way to do it yourself. If God say don't do something, if God say it's wrong, then we need to say, you know what, God, I'm wrong if it's wrong, and I need to change what I'm doing. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, we need to be honest with ourselves. A good man can be honest and say, you know what, I messed up. Be like David. Lord, purge me with hyssop. Wash me that I might be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. He said that then I can teach transgressors your ways and sinners can be converted. I want to be used by you. So whatever you got to do, God, to get me right now, I got to be used by you. So whatever it takes, get me right, God. A good man said, it's me standing in the need. It ain't always somebody else's fault. It's me. What can I do? Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. A good man. Anybody want to be a good man? Let's look at verse number 24, because I think y'all ready to go already. A good man says that though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord uphold him with his what? Hand. He says, not only does God prepare a good man, but a good man is protected by God. Right. He's prepared by God, but he's protected by God. And when we look at it, he says, though he what? Fall. Oh, we thought a good man never have a bad day. A good man can't have a bad day because you're a good man. But a good man has plenty of bad days, but he don't talk about it all the time. Right. I've had some good days. Y'all, come on now. You had some hills to climb, had some weary days, and some sleepless nights. But when I look around, a good man looks around and think things over. He can say that all of his good days outweigh his bad days, and a good man say, I won't complain. A good man is protected by God. He falls. The Bible even tells us that a just man falleth what? Seven times, but he gets back up. Anybody know a man that decided that I'm not going to wallow in sin, I'm not going to wallow in shame, I'm not going to wallow in disappointment, I'm not going to wallow in failure and fault, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back and ask God to help me to do it right the next time. Do I have any witnesses? A good man can be successful because the Bible says that a good man, a blessed man, in Psalm number 1, he said, a blessed man don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand it in the way of sinner, nor sit it in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Lord, whatever it is you say, that's what I delight in. I don't delight in what Steve Harvey says, Oprah said, but I don't even care what Dr. Phil has to say, but what I delight in is what the Lord has to say. Good man go to church because he want to hear what God has to say. Come on and say amen. He said, though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. In other words, that whenever he trips, whenever he has a fall, people can't look at him and talk about it because God picks him right on back up. You don't have to call people to help you, good men, because God picks you up. Oh, God wipes you off when people write you off. Help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, he's protected by God. He falls, but he's not under. And the reason why is because he upholds him with his hand. God picks him right back up. God upholds him. God supports him. God, Lord have mercy. God supports him. God picks him up. It's kind of like, I always use this example. It's kind of like walking with a baby that's just learning to walk. When that baby trips because you got that baby hand, that baby don't ever hit the ground. You just drag them right on, put them right back on their feet. You know how that baby trip? You just pick them back up and put them right back on their feet. And that's what God does. I tripped, but God put me right back on my feet. I had a stumble, but God didn't let me fall. I had some things happen, but that's all right because God was on my side and he picked me up, turned me around and placed my feet in an established or solid ground, an established place. Come on and say amen. God will pick him up. Not only will God pick us up, but God will protect us. Amen. He says that in verse 24, he said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. In other words, with God's strength, he supports him. With God's spirit, he moves him. With God's hand, he lifts him. I wish I had somebody. If God has given you, and that word hand means not only the hand, but the wrist. It means that you can have the wrist. In other words, you can hold on to God. I wish I had somebody. God's wrists are so strong that not only will God lift you, but God will turn you. I wish I had somebody. And so when we think about a good man, sometimes not only does he need to be lifted, but he sometimes need to be turned. And so God knows just how to turn us. God knows how to support us. God knows how to protect us. He upholds us with his hand. God has a hand of protection. And when God's hand of protection is on you, no matter what comes your way, come hell or high water, God's hand is upon you. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, you can truly and honestly say that no weapon formed against you shall prosper when you're a good man. You can truly honestly say that any afflictions that come upon me, the Lord will deliver me from them all. You can truly say the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the enemies came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell, because God was right there with me. David said in Psalm 23, he said that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is right there with me. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. We need to know that God comforts us. He keeps us. He protects us. He's on our side. He said that if we got to look at that, all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Do you know that a good man has a purpose? Do you know that a good man has a call according to Romans 8? We need to understand that. We need to know that a good man can say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Do I have any good men in the house? God is looking for a few good men that's not afraid to praise him. He's looking for a few good men that's not afraid to pray to him. He's looking for a few good men that's not afraid to witness for him and to worship him. Come on and say amen here. Short message. I'm almost done. Third verse of the text that we've chosen, verse 25, says, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He says, I've been young, and I wasn't all that good of a man, but God made me good. He said, I've been young. David been young. He said, I made some mistakes in my young life. He said, but throughout the mistakes, God allowed me to remain so I can become an old man. David said, I made a mistake with Bathsheba, but I also did some good things. Don't listen. If you're a good man, you just keep focusing on the good things you did. David didn't focus on Bathsheba. He focused on Goliath. He focused on leading the people. He focused on the victories that he had. As a young man, David had to live in caves. He had to live in the wilderness. As a young man, he went with men that were full of depression, full of discontent, full of debt, people who didn't have no kind of hope. And David joined himself with them, and he gave them hope. David said, as a young man, my family was stolen from me, but I went and prayed, and God told me I could recover all of this as a young man. Oh yeah, David said, as a young man, my brothers talked about me. They despised me and told me, you just got some stuff in your heart. You need to get away from here. My brothers rejected me. And David said, as a young man, I was not even able to become king of all Israel. I had to just be king of Judah because people didn't want no part with me as a young man. But I know God was still with me. Just because people don't accept you, just because people don't approve you, don't mean that God is not with you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Just because some folks don't enjoy what you have done in life and people can't celebrate you, that does not mean that you're not a good man. All that means is that I got people who can't recognize a good man. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah, we need to be able to recognize them, not for their faults, not for their failures, but for their ability to continue, for them being competent enough to stay with it, to be able to overcome. I wish I had somebody. I need to be content, and I need to continue doing what God wants me to do. This is what marks me as a good man, is because I won't stop at trouble. I won't stop at failure. But I get back up and say, Lord, help me to get over this. Help me to get through this. And as I go through, I say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Y'all not with me this morning? It's all right to say amen in here. He said, not only will God prepare you, but God protect you, and then God will provide for you. God provides for the young and the old good men. Amen. God, he says that I've been young and now I'm old, but I haven't seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of trouble. I've seen a lot of people, but I do know that God is right there with me. He said, I've been young and I'm old. I've been through some stuff that youngsters go through. I did the same things that young people do, but God was right there. Y'all don't hear me. I've been some places that I shouldn't have been. I've said some things that I shouldn't have said. Oh, but I did some other things that I should have did, and they were good. And I realized if it hadn't been for God with me, I wouldn't have made it through. Come on and say, man. Oh, yeah. He said, God provided a way. God provided an understanding. God provided a path. The Bible said that he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need to understand a good man understands that God is a provider. He don't look to other people. He said, God, it's me and you. The Lord will provide. Come here, Abraham. The Bible said that Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. His son said, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but I don't see the sacrifice. Abraham said, the Lord will provide. I wish I had somebody here. And then he came off that mountain calling him Jehovah Jireh. You see, a good man understands who Jehovah Jireh is. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh will provide when you need it. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh, that whenever you need the money, when your money is funny and your change is strange, that God will be with you to help you through it all. I'm not telling you that your pockets are going to be full all the time, but what I'm telling you is that if your heart is full of love and you're full of the Holy Ghost, then God will show you a way. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for him, but it's been revealed by his Spirit. Come on and say amen. God will provide. God has good plans for us. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. But not only will God provide for the good man, but the Bible said that God will provide for his children. He said, I have been young and now I am old and I've not seen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana.